Hello, hello, and welcome to another Big Gay Date. I'm Dave Mosley.
I'm Carl Skeens.
And tonight we are watching the 2010 Disney animated spectacular Toy Story 3.
I like that you didn't use the word classic, even though...
That's what Disney calls Walt Disney classics.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of Disney movies, this will end up being... A class. As long as they don't keep fucking with it like they plan on doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great ending as a trilogy.
This is a phenomenal movie that nobody asked for at the time.
Uh-huh.
We were not needing another Toy Story after Toy Story 2.
We didn't want it. We didn't expect it. And then we're all crying like little bitches in the theater.
Yeah. But like 2 years earlier, when they announced they were working on it, we were all shitting on it, mm-hmm. You know? We were like, why would you fucking do that?
Yeah.
Toy Story 2 was absolutely perfect. It was a better movie than the original. It raised the stakes slightly, but then it was like, what, 10 years? It was 99, and this came out in 2010, so yeah, it was like 10 years after the last one. We're like, we don't need another one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Because us Pixar had their, you know, so many other new ideas.
Who do we give that credit to? That the movie just doesn't get any shittier. It just keeps getting better. Is that Disney or is that Pixar?
I don't know.
You know,
because Disney were the ones that were kind of forcing their hand to like make it. Because this was right after they Disney bought Pixar outright.
Mm-hmm.
You know, originally it was a separate studio and they were just the distributors. But it was. After Ratatouille was the last one they did, I think, and right after that they bought it, and they were like, well, it's part of the negotiation was, we'll buy your studio, but you need to make another Toy Story and you need to make another Cars and all this kind of shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cars didn't work out so good, but Toy Story 3, they fucking knocked it out of the park. So I guess we give Disney credit for making them do it, but you gotta give Pixar all the credit for actually putting together a story that works so well.
Yeah. Those guys know what they're doing, man. They get it.
So, if you are just joining us for the first time, what is Big Gay Date, you may be asking? Well, Big Gay Date is a couple of things. First of all, it's a commentary podcast for popular movies where we're going to just sit down and dissect them, look at what makes them tick and... why they're considered classics in a way. It's also a chance for two men to sit down and just have a talk about their big gay feelings, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, basically.
Encouraged and lubricated with plenty of alcohol and liquor. So, as always, I have my Bud Light, and you are mixing up a little bit tonight with...
Yes, tonight I am drinking rum and Cokes. I'm drinking Bacardi rum with Diet Coke, because gotta watch the figure.
Mm-hmm.
However, I just weighed myself the other day, and I'm like a 114 right now. I'm like 15 pounds underweight.
I'm like two of you at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little guy, man.
This is basically a big gay three-way.
Yeah, basically. Basically. But yeah, man, I feel like I'm underweight, so that might explain why I get so wasted so easy when I go out like partying and shit, and why I have to kind of stretch it out here if I'm going to be coherent.
You're a cheap big gay date.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did do that one. We've done a couple long movies where I just committed, and then we couldn't even use it because we were both just kind of slurring.
It happens. It happens. This is episode... 32, I think.
Uh-huh.
And we've recorded way more than that.
Yeah. But I'm also, I'm drinking rum and Coke tonight.
Yeah, hang on. So I want to talk about this. So at every point in each movie we watch, we each will pick a favorite point in order to speed up the inebriation. We will pick our favorite moments of the movie, and we each have a liquor that we decide... means something to the movie that we are watching. At least that's the way that I've been doing it the last few times.
Okay.
Now, what have you brought this week, Carl?
This week, I brought Jim Beam.
You motherfucker.
Okay. Now, in my defense. I've just been really fucking busy lately, you know? And like,
how are you spinning this to be to be Toy Story 3 inspired, considering this is the same drink you've had like 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've just been super busy, so it's been sitting in my bag.
Did you just buy like a 48 pack or something, and you're just trying to use?
I mean, I bought like 20, and then I was actually going through them in the morning for my coffee, but then I got a labor job that if I do drink before I go into work, they'll fire me. So I'm literally just I have a pocket in my bag that's full of these, and I'm just trying to get them. I mean, next time I go to the liquor store, I'll just buy that many of like 4 or 5 different kinds of.
There's a thought.
Yeah. But I really like this Jim Beam Fire, and honestly, the reason it works is because of that final scene where all the toys are thinking they're going to their death, and then they reach over and hold each other's hands, and then you're crying, and it's fire. That's why I got it.
You make me cry when you bring the same fucking liquor to the party every single week. So I went out of my way, and I've picked up some Captain Morgan Parrot Bay Strawberry Caribbean Rum. And you know why? Because Lotso smells like strawberries. And Lotso is one of my favorite Pixar villains.
Okay.
I love his voice. I just love how he looks. And then when he turns, it becomes like that sinister kind of, kind of like a...
that bitch-ass bear?
Yeah. It's just such a good turn for him. I just love it.
And we are doing the Kevin Bacon thing, correct?
We are doing the Kevin Bacon thing, which started last week. So we're the... do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to wait until it pops up?
Well, no, I'm just literally the next week we're already at our goal, correct?
Yes.
It took one interim movie.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's a testament to how diverse the cast is for the Pixar movies, you know? Like, this cast is not just like popular people of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that kind of differentiates Pixar from the DreamWorks movies and a lot of other animation studios. I think Pixar pick people that are absolutely just perfect for the part, not just who are the big names that are going to draw people into the theaters.
Mm-hmm. I'm just really surprised that we were able to get to Kevin Bacon from a Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright English movie.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing. The big connection for this whole piece is going to be Timothy Dalton,
mm-hmm.
who was the bad guy in Hot Fuzz, and he plays the hedgehog, Mr. Pricklepants, in the with the little girl. Where who is it that fucking goes off? Is it Buzz? No. Who ends up with the chick, or is it Woody? I don't know. I forget what happens.
I just remember crying.
Yeah.
I don't remember much past wiping the tears out of my eyes.
There's a scene where one of the two characters uh-huh. ends up going home with one of the girls who goes to the daycare, and he meets her friends, like the Triceratops, and Mr. Pricklepants is the hedgehog, and they all have like this tea party and everything. And Mr. Pricklepants is like they're all like serious actors, you know,
mm-hmm.
like they really commit to the part and everything. So Timothy Dalton, like, this just exudes this British like elegance, you know, whenever he speaks.
Mr. Pricklepants,
such a great name as well. It's just got like great voice. It's perfect for the part. They didn't just pick some hot at the moment British actor or something. I don't know who was hot and who was the big property in 2010 for English stuff. Robert Pattinson. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know, but that honestly is the reason why they don't do that. Mm. You know.
Yeah. Whereas DreamWorks do not care at all.
No, absolutely not.
Will Ferrell's got a bunch of movies going on right now. Let's put him as the star of our movie. And
yeah.
Seth Rogen's popular. Let's see him as an alien in this.
You know, like, there are certain actors that have been A-list actors, and, like, you know who... Even, like, there are certain actors from, like, back in the day, where mm-hmm. even you say their name now, mm-hmm. and you know who it was.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot more actors than just those people. It makes you wonder, out of everyone that you know of today, in 20 years, which one of those currently popular ones are going to be the forgottens?
Mm.
You know, like...
Who's going to... Who's going to be remembered? Who's going to stand the test of time?
Who's going to... And Tom Cruise is crazy as hell, but Tom Cruise status is kind of what you should all be shooting for.
Yeah.
That dude's a hustler. Mm-hmm. Did you... I've heard recently that when it comes to scripts, Tom Cruise, you send him a script, he will read it and call you back in an hour. And that's just how he's always been, because Tom Cruise being Tom Cruise takes work. It's easy to get there, and it's really hard to maintain it. But that motherfucker's a hustler. You send him a script, he will hit you back in an hour and let you know whether or not he's interested. How many other people get a script, and then by the time they get around to reading it, like 4 or 5 days later, the part's already been cast?
Yeah. Or when they do read it, you know, they don't even make the effort to tell you what they thought, if they think it sucks or something.
Yeah, apparently, even if he's not interested, he'll tell you, because Tom Cruise.
Yeah, because Tom Cruise. Yeah, there's very few actors that can kind of do that. Tom Hanks has stood the test of time.
Yeah, Tom Hanks, honestly, if you just send him a typewriter, that's it. That's all it takes.
That's all it needs.
Mm-hmm.
Who did that?
A lot of people. They just, actually, Tom Cruise, well, not Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks collects his old school typewriters.
Yeah, who sent that to get his attention for something? Who was it?
I know Chris Hardwick has sent him one. Basically, everyone that I've seen on the internet that has sent Tom Hanks a typewriter, Tom Hanks will then
turn
around.
He's taken time to actually recognize it.
Well, yeah, he writes you a thank you note with that typewriter. Okay. So, like, if you have, like, a hung T or, like, a shitty H, it will be the hung T and the shitty H on the thank you note. Complete with, like, spelling errors and everything, because... Fuck it, he's Tom Hanks. He's going to be funny, too.
He is the hung T. I think I'm getting confused with, there was a town in, like, Italy or something, or Spain, where he was filming something, and they bought him a car that he kept taking a picture with or something, I don't know. There's a series of photos of him in front of his car, and then the town just got together and bought him the car or something.
That's pretty cool. What's up, tiny little sister?
I hear if you buy him a car, he'll drive to your house to say thank you.
I wonder what happens if you suck his dick. I mean, maybe that's a little too on the nose, but...
Well, I mean...
I'm fairly confident he doesn't listen, but if you are, Tom, Dave's got a proposition for you.
I'm curious now. I gotta find out.
Not even gay, man, but I'll totally take a shot in the mouth from Tom Hanks.
I'm not gay. I just gotta know.
Yeah. I just love people.
I just hate unanswered questions. That's my... You could say I'm curious. did you... this is the same kid that plays Andy in the original movies, I believe. They brought everybody back for this one. Did you hear the story going around on Reddit a couple of weeks ago now about Andy's dad that was debunked, I think, but made for a very interesting and typically Pixar sad kind of revelation?
Yeah, definitely makes it more of a bummer. What are you doing, Andy? What are you doing? Don't do it. Oh, no.
My insides. The guy who plays Slinky's died, didn't he?
Yeah, that was Ernest. He'd been dead.
Oh, like only a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, enough that Slinky is not the real Slinky voice anymore for...
Do they still... Oh, shit. No, that's right. Yeah, it's a different guy in this movie. I don't know what I'm thinking.
Well, and also at the Toy Story land that they're building, you know, and also the existing Toy Story ride over at Hollywood Studios, pretty sure he was already dead before that happened. And Slinky totally has lines. Also, did you hear that what's his face? I forget his first name. Whitmore. The guy that's been voicing Kermit for years and years and years. He's no longer.
I just read he put out a statement or a blog, a Tumblr about it, which is how news
people are still.
It's
on
how
Tumblr?
News gets released these days. Twitter, Tumblr.
Wow.
You know, Pinterest. I guess.
Yeah.
What a weird world we live in.
Oh, no.
Anyway, the the theory or the story that was relayed by somebody who actually worked on the movie before he died, and then this sad buster. This cracks me up. God.
Oh no.
The story went that Andy's dad had polio, and then he, when he was a kid or something, he got polio, but he got over it. And then it came back later in life. And the theory is that Woody is his toy. He's not Andy's toy, but that his dad was also named Andy.
Yeah, because the Woody's Roundup show is so old. Why the hell would Andy...
He wouldn't care. He clearly has no... And we learned that kind of in Toy Story 2, you know. He has no idea what this thing is worth. In fact, it's just this one guy, it seems, that has any idea. This collector, the only guy that knows what this show's about.
God, if only one guy's aware, how do you even maintain the market value?
Probably why it was canceled, you know?
Yeah. Now, I wonder if this is Sid.
The Reddit theory goes, yes. That has never been confirmed, right?
They don't
seem to confirm anything at Pixar.
No.
They have no problem just reading your theories, and then when people ask about them, they're just like, oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
but
I mean...
We never get any concrete...
I just want them to pull a Supernatural, you know? In Supernatural, Chuck the Prophet in Season 6 knew some shit, and then we had another Prophet. And the idea is when a new Prophet cannot exist while the previous Prophet's still alive. But then... 3 seasons later, Chuck shows back up just as like a cameo. Mm. And for years, all the Supernatural fans have been saying Chuck's God. In the Supernatural series, God's been on vacation. God peaced out because he doesn't give a fuck. But Chuck's God. And we've been saying that for years. And round about season 10, the Supernatural showrunners were like, actually, yeah, that's a great idea. And they brought him back, and he is God, and like they scripted it in. I just want Pixar to...
Just throw us a fucking bone,
yeah,
finally.
I know you like a couple of those theories. Pick one and just give it to us.
Just say that, yeah. Just
tell us we were right.
That's all we want. Or just do a movie that brings everything together like Ryan Murphy promises to do in American Horror Story, you know?
Yeah, and apparently Twisty the Clown is back in this next season.
I heard that.
But it's the election season. Mm. How are they going to bring Twisty the Clown from 60s Florida into modern Trump era election series?
Because we could never have a clown in the White House. That was interesting news today. Or no, yes, that was yesterday, right? We're recording this. What's the day today? The 12th of July?
Yes.
Yeah. So yesterday's bombshell was a lot of fun to watch unfold.
I'm pretty sure the T word is valid now. I'm pretty sure that dropping the word treason is actually true and not just hyperbole now.
Mm-hmm. And he did it to himself. Like, that's what gets me.
And they made such a big deal about emails with Hillary Clinton, and as it turns out, emails are what is going to completely implode this entire dog and pony show they call a presidency.
Yeah.
It's really ironic.
It's much fun to watch, though.
yeah. Much like having to fake your drug test in order to get a job building medical life-saving equipment that's probably going to save other people that are overdosing on drugs and potentially failing their own drug test. It's irony. It's a sick sense of irony.
That's an oddly specific example you gave there, Carl.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, don't you have a new job?
Nope. Man, people at my job don't even know I have Facebook. They don't know what I do for a living. As far as they're concerned, I'm the scruffy white kid that lives up the street. They have no idea what I do.
That's that 15-year-old that's just trying to get work experience or something.
Yeah. They don't even know how old I am. One dude knows my name. Like,
how many people do you work with?
Just in my factory building, 700, but then we have like four more on the lot.
Okay.
Lot of stuff going on.
A lot of perspective there.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of different pay scales going on as well. I never thought I would... Okay, you know that working man versus, like, cubicle worker, like, managerial position, how there's, like, always that animosity in, like, movies and shit?
Mm-hmm.
I get it now. I fucking get it. I hate the dude that rolls around with, like, a little podium with wheels with his laptop on it. And I'm like, bitch, number one, it's a laptop. Carry it. Put it on your lap. Or two, get a tablet.
Yeah.
God, I understand why there's that... That like, cause when you're working like super hard for like your money and like manual labor and fucking elbow grease, you then see somebody else working for the same company, probably making a little more than you, that for some reason or another does not have to. And I'm sure mentally, I'm sure they're like, I would like. Okay, I'm not sure. I would like to think that they're like running numbers and their potential maybe existent college degree is like the reason behind all this, but really, you know, that doesn't mean shit. I'm understanding the anime. At one point today, my lead was my boss was getting yelled at by his boss, and I was having to deal with my boss at that point. But then his boss comes up and asks him a question. He's like, "Oh yeah, well, I got this guy. I got Boss Man, because he doesn't know my fucking name at all. I got Boss Man doing this," and then my boss's boss goes, "That doesn't tell me shit. Come here," and pulls him away, and then I disappear to go to like the next ambulance back in the line, and I look at Chico, one of our electricians, and I'm like, "Chico, man, fucking Boss Man's getting yelled at by like bigger Boss Man," and he's like, "What do you mean Boss Man? Because we all have like different bosses," right. And I tell him his name.
He's like, "I thought you were Boss Man."
Yeah, and Chico's like, "Oh shit," and he leans out, he goes, "Oh, that's Philip. Shit, he gonna be laying into Philip all day. He's tearing him a new asshole. He's probably building a home in his asshole right now." So I learned very quickly that the moment that shit happens, you go south. I get off at 6:30. Between the time of 6:20 and 6:30, I take out trash, I sweep, I basically get out of the sight lines of any managers, because at that 6:25 moment, they're looking for the closest people going, "Hey, before I let you go, can you do this, this, and this for me?" Fuck no. I'm taking out trash, I'm doing as many things as I can to just get away from you in hopes that right at 6:30, I can walk by, grab my bag, see the people that got suckered into it doing shit, and just be like, "Peace!" And clock out on my way out the door. It never works out like that. Today I left 15 minutes late. Yesterday I left like an hour and a half late. But I get paid regardless, so fuck it.
Yeah, that's fair.
That being said, Lotso is a prick.
Okay. And here's another thing. Michael Keaton. What was Michael Keaton doing 7 years ago? Not a great fucking deal.
Yeah, not much at all.
Not much at all.
And it's so funny that he's who he is.
Yeah.
Never would have thought he'd be Ken.
Yeah. But he has that right level of comedy and performance. Have you seen the new Spider-Man movie yet?
Mm-mm.
He is phenomenal in that. He is a really good villain, which is really tough for Marvel to do.
Michael Keaton's phenomenal in almost everything.
He's great in anything, yeah, absolutely. But it's,
he's a really good, like... I mean, would he classify as a character actor? I think so. He's very choosy with his work.
Yeah.
He hasn't just showed up in the box office nonstop. You know, like, he very... Clearly, he's... Like, Birdman
he cares
is amazing.
About, yeah, Birdman's phenomenal.
And until Birdman, when's the last time we saw him? It was years.
RoboCop, I guess.
Yeah.
RoboCop is like a... you probably didn't think about that one too much.
No, not at all. I literally just saw that RoboCop for the first time like a year ago.
Okay.
It's not horrible.
But
I wasn't missing out on anything.
Yeah. But yeah, Birdman, The Founder, I've heard really good things about. But no, in Spider-Man, he's a really great villain with like there's just some great moments I can't go into because you haven't seen the movie, but it's really good.
Is he he's the initials that must not be named relative, right? The very famous Spider-Man initials?
No, you're completely off on what that's about.
But isn't about her name?
About everything that you're thinking, you're completely off on.
Well, okay.
I guess you've been reading like rumors and stuff.
Hang on, everybody's been wrong. I thought at the I was under the impression that at the end of the, and spoilers, you guys. I'm sorry, but I mean clearly we're drunk. We probably spoiled a lot of things for you in the past anyway. but I was under the impression that at the end of the movie, she tells him that everybody calls her MJ.
Who are we talking about?
The girl.
Which girl?
The brown girl.
Which brown girl?
It's his homie, right?
There's one chick that he's that kind of keeps on shitting on him throughout the whole movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, her name is Michelle, but everyone calls her MJ.
So MJ does exist in the new movie.
But her name's not Mary Jane.
Well, they don't have to be. They can just be MJ. I mean, how many times, as long as MJ's been in the movies, how many times does he really call her Mary Jane? Yeah. Spider-Man doesn't. He always calls her MJ.
Yeah. Anyway, no.
MJ. At least we got an MJ back. Mm-hmm. That's not Kirsten Dunst. That's bullshit right there. Oh, they're so excited. They have no idea.
They're about to get rammed.
Woody's like, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
This is weird. This is very much like the scene with the food in Sausage Party right before they start eating everyone in the kitchen.
So, what is your favorite part of this movie that we're going to drink at?
I guess I can go with this one. Just because I was going to say my favorite part of the movie was that scene, but really, that's the most memorable part of the movie for me, but not my favorite by any means. It destroys your childhood. Like, it destroys things that you loved in, like, seconds.
Okay.
There's a reason why the adults that were our age that have little kids that took their kids to see Toy Story 3 in the movie theater were bawling, and their kids are all looking at him like, what the fuck is wrong with mom and dad?
So you're saying this scene here where everyone gets fisted?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I'll take it.
All right. Well, then pour them out, sir.
I'll start making that happen.
Be a bit more generous. What, are you running low on them?
Hmm?
Are you right? Fucking pour some more.
Oh, I am. I was just running out.
Yeah. Pour some more in yours, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. Now I got to match them.
Start being stingy, though. I know you got another 30 of them.
Yeah, bro. But, hey, once Friday's done, I can go back to drinking them in my coffee.
Ah.
By the way, what are you doing this weekend? You chilling? Do anything
this weekend? Oh, actually, that's what I was going to fucking talk about. Actually, we are doing another movie March Madness bracket Saturday night.
Okay.
We've done a few of them before. It's where we take 64 movies and we of a particular genre or a particular theme, and we just basically bracket them off, and they end up in these pairs that they just fight against each other, and then the winner moves on to the next round, and so on and so on, exactly like how March Madness works with the basketball. And then we'll argue about 64 different movies until we have a winner, and then we'll watch that winner. When we did the animation movies, best animation, which we did probably about 3-4 years ago, I think. Well, that's about 3 years ago. So we didn't have Moana on there, or Inside Out, like some really good Pixar stuff from recent years and everything. But Toy Story 3 actually came out as the winner for best animation, because it's just such a great movie, and the ending is just absolutely perfect.
Honestly, if you just don't show me the people, it looks super real. Mm-hmm. Their people are very stylized, but if you don't show me the actual human beings...
Oh, I don't mean best animation as in, like, best, you know, like, most realistic or anything. I mean best animation, like, that's just the genre of the movie.
Well,
like,
yeah,
you know.
of course.
Don't fucking, like, niggle over that shit.
Even the Cars 3 trailer, I in no way give a shit about Cars whatsoever. I hate the franchise. Never been, it's just not been my cup of tea. I'm
not into it.
I can't get sucked in.
Cars 2 is the only Pixar film I've ever fallen asleep during. And I will not go back and watch it.
But when they dropped the trailer for Cars 3 and you just saw a wreck and it said everything has changed, It looked real.
Yeah.
And then they started dropping these other trailers and you're like, oh no, it's the same shit.
Same old shit. There's Mater. He's leaking oil like he's pissing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this movie is just... It's damn near perfect, man. Every single other animation film we try and fight it up against, it always comes out on top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's like when you try and hang glide into a base in Far Cry. If you hang glide, like, directly on top of it, it just pushes you back up.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And it's like, nope, you gotta walk.
Speaking of Tom Cruise. So yeah, this Saturday we are doing Best Remake, so we'll have RoboCop in there and a couple other things. No, that's not going to win Best Remake.
Absolutely
we
not.
We need to find 64 movies, so we got to fucking cast a wide net.
Yeah, you know? 64 remakes.
My pick, like without even looking at the bracket or anything, my pick is definitely going to be Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
That is a solid movie that happens to be a remake. It holds up still so well.
If it's not already on your list, but you should definitely throw Ocean's 11 on there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's an easy one. That's an easy choice.
Yeah, 12 and 13 are uncalled for,
no,
but 11 is a remake.
Just the first one is good. The debate, though, that I'm having internally is what constitutes a remake and what constitutes a reboot. And what constitutes a reimagining. Like Disturbia, some would say is a remake of Rear Window. I wouldn't say it's a faithful enough remake, so I wouldn't count it in the
It's
the
a
list.
Reimagining.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ghostbusters,
I feel like a reboot can fit into that remake territory a lot better than reimagining.
So Ghostbusters with the 2016 version with the ladies.
I think that could qualify into your list.
I wouldn't say so, honestly.
Why not?
What's your favorite scene here? Well, excuse me.
Cheers.
Oh, fire? Jim Beam fire?
Yeah.
Oh. The beer doesn't help.
It was definitely more enjoyable than that fucking tequila, though.
In other news...
I don't need a chaser with this.
Yeah, that's fair. It's like we are
Red Dawn, is that on your list yet?
Yes. Red Dawn is a really great remake, actually.
Fill the bag! None of that flatbread!
So yeah, it's I'm having some interesting discussions with myself. About what kind of works and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I have to put the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes remake on there, but I would really like to have Rise of the Planet of the Apes on there instead, you know? But that's not so much a remake.
Mm-mm. It's so, telling the part of the story that we never got to see.
It's a prequel slash reboot slash, you know, it's...
I'm okay with that, though. I'm okay with what they're doing now with the Planet of the Apes franchise, because, like, we've only gotten to see the aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
We never got to see what actually... It's like Terminator. We've either seen the before or the after. Until very recently, we had no idea what the fuck actually went on during that, like, changing of the guard, basically.
Very true.
It's like Rise of the Machines. Terminator, Rise of the Machines. I was so excited. And then there was no fucking Rising of the Machines.
No.
There was, oh, we're going to shoot some shit.
What?
And you go into a bunker? No. I want to see everybody die.
bless her. Pixar.
Did she just teleport?
Yeah. Something Pixar is really good at doing kids, and I know exactly how that sounds. But, like, Boo from Monsters, Inc. is one of my favorite Pixar characters.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of how fucking adorable she is when she's just bumbling around like a fucking idiot.
I like the little fat kid from Up.
Yeah.
That kid's awesome.
The kids are... you say the adults look kind of creepy and everything, but the kids look so much better in all these movies. You're kind of more forgivable because they just make them look so fucking adorable.
That's a cool little tennis ball holder. I want one of those. That'd be great for juggling. That'd be so cool. Carry your green juggling balls in a pea pod. Peace. Now imagine if out the corner of your eye you just saw your toys wink at each other. Yo. For real, I've told your wife in the past that, like, that when you get, like, super wasted and fall asleep, she needs to come in here and just grab a handful, grab as many pops as possible, and while you're sleeping, just arrange them so when you wake up, it's like Lilliput in Gulliver's Travels, but with all of your toys. Because
they look like they're going to have a blood sacrifice or something.
Yes, because you were a smart enough individual that very quickly you're going to be like, oh, my wife's fucking with me. Mm. But for the first couple seconds, when your brain's still trying to process everything, like, that's when it happens. Like, whenever you spend the night at somebody's house and you wake up and you panic for the first, like, 10 seconds because you don't know where the fuck you are, and then you know, that's what I'm looking for.
That's what you're looking for.
Absolutely.
You're gonna be here when this happens?
No. I'm going to convince other people to do it to you. I don't want to do shit. God, that would require me to wake up. Bro, for real, the fact that I'm here, if I wasn't here, I would literally be at home sleeping already.
That's fair.
These long days suck.
If you weren't here, I'd be sleeping as well. Because I'm up at I'm in at 6:45 tomorrow.
Yeah. What time do you get off?
I mean,
normally
whenever,
if you like, if you're going to work at like 6 something.
Oh,
when
work
do you...
well 2:15. Yeah,
you have an 8-hour shift.
And 7.5.
You lucky son of a bitch. Jesus, I want an 8-hour shift. I mean, okay, technically I don't want an 8-hour shift because I get paid hourly. But
yeah.
That mantis looking thing looked like from the back, he looked like a buff version of Brack from Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Zorak?
Yeah, Zorak, that's what I meant. Brock or Brack, he's the guy with
the red hair,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you know, don't you have that pop somewhere?
That's the only reason I know who we're talking about. I've never seen Space Ghost. So.
What?
Yeah, missed it.
Oh my god!
When it was big, and it, I don't know—is it still big? I don't hear about it anymore.
I mean, no, not at all anymore. But it was the fact that they could do interviews and the animated character. It was like Talk Soup before Talk Soup, only where the animated character from the 50s was self-aware and would give you shit. We didn't have anything at that point. Now you can literally do that at Laugh Factory at Disney.
Shit, did you see... Did you... let me just get my words out. Something I saw today that's going to be really fucking creepy is there are teams that have found a way to take audio from, like... There's a really specific example. There's audio of Barack Obama from, like, the early 90s when he's in college.
Mm-hmm.
And they have created an algorithm that can take any sound and can make lip movements for video that you can overlay onto footage. So there's video, like, side-by-side video of an interview of Barack Obama from the 90s. And interviews from, like, the Oprah Winfrey Show and shit like that, of him saying stuff overlaid onto really official-looking, like press conference or interview style footage of him as the president saying those exact same fucking words, and his mouth movement, it's not perfect, but it is freakily close.
If it was played in the top left corner of a news show, you'd believe it.
Yeah, or just like just a real quick snippet you saw, mm-hmm. on you'd buy it because there's the president of the United States right there, and he's saying something. Yeah. That is fucking scary, considering how much fake news there is.
Mm-hmm.
In the wrong hands, that is a very, very dangerous prospect.
Do you watch any of the Disney research videos where they have like all their Imagineers working on shit like that?
No.
Yo, they've actually done some shit like that. You know how like when DARPA puts out videos of their new like dog-shaped robots and how it's just amazing? The Disney research arm does that same shit. And they, like, just a couple months ago, put out a video that was very reminiscent of exactly what you're talking about.
Mm.
And also taking existing footage of someone and being able to use that footage, track it with a computer, and then make any... Basically, instead of having the... instead of having you have to, like, act for motion capture... They already, much like animators have known for 100 years, you can boil down the human existence to like X amount of expressions, and everything is going to be within the realm of those expressions. They can just take an existing video of you and make you portray and say anything and any emotion that you've never done before, just because they have all the parameters, they have the extremes. And it's just up to the computer to find that nice, like, middle portion.
Yeah, that's the thing with... I think that's why it works so well with the Obama stuff, is because there is literally hundreds of hours of footage of him saying and emoting to pretty much everything. They have all the reference material.
And if you've seen like, Anderson Cooper rap, like, stuff on Jimmy Fallon...
Yeah.
I mean, shit, that's just him doing news. Barack Obama actually has to answer questions and had to be, like, personable and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So many more options.
Absolutely.
You could make it sound so legit and not like a trick at all.
Yeah.
So scary.
Now, in that last scene, I don't know if you caught a glimpse of it, but did she have a Totoro stuffed animal?
I couldn't tell.
I think she did, because Disney owns Studio Ghibli, right?
Do they?
I think so.
I will find out for us. Totoro. Did you see that was Adam Savage's incognito costume this year?
Totoro?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
With his little, like, umbrella and shit.
Where does he... when you say this year, because we haven't had Comic-Con yet, where does he go for that thing?
Well, every con that celebrities go to, they can't enjoy it unless they have, like, a good costume. You know, when he goes to Comic-Con...
But we haven't had Comic-Con yet, so did he
he also does, like, or? It's Adam Savage. That motherfucker's got the budget and is interested in the same nerdy shit that we are. If he had his way, I'm sure he would do nothing but go to cons and build nothing but cool shit every day of the year. I would.
Yeah, fair.
He's got, for real, he doesn't even have to pay to go to the con. Oh, Adam Savage is coming? He doesn't want to do a meet and greet? He just wants to hide in costume? Sure.
Because you know there'll be video of it.
Yeah.
And that's your con going viral right there.
And if you go to the Tested website, or Tested YouTube channel, and watch Adam Savage's incognito videos from different cons, when he did Totoro, one of the first people that actually that caught him was another dude that was wearing a Totoro costume that was very reminiscent of his, because that guy had been following along with Adam Savage's channel and building a costume for himself as well.
No way.
And so, like, then two Totoros are just kind of, like, walking around the con together, and the dude just kind of... Because Adam Savage is always mic'd, and people come up to take a picture with him, and then they lean over, they're like, hey, are you Adam Savage? And he's always really fucking gracious about it. But it's super cool, man.
Just on the topic of the Pixar theory where everything's connected, when they were just switching buzzes switch over to demo, the batteries are from, what's it called? By and Large, I think. The big box
the big barn
from,
store.
Yeah, from Wally. Yeah. Wally.
How long is this movie?
It's like 1 hour 40, I think. It's long for an animated movie.
Cool. So the movie's only 1 hour 40 minutes, and we're already over 40 minutes in. We're totally not that far out.
We're pretty good.
Yeah.
About 1 hour.
She looks like she's got a black eye.
And a tramp stamp from the looks of it on the back there. Looks like a butterfly. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Is that's Don Rickles, right?
Yes.
He died recently, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That might be who I'm thinking of.
Is that, wait, no, is that Don Rickles or is that Jerry Stiller?
Oh, like Ben Stiller's dad? Don't tell me he's dead.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Really?
Hang on.
I don't think he is. You look up who is Mr. Potato Head. I'll look up Jerry Stiller. This is a great time to go and pee.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Because we're going to be real silent for a
second. Oh, no, it's Don Rickles. You're correct.
Okay. And Jerry Stiller is still alive.
Mmm.
Well done, you.
That's saying something. Is his mom still alive, too?
What, Ben Stiller's mom?
Yeah, because both of his parents are fucking comedy legends.
And Maria?
That's going to be a sad day in comedy.
Yeah.
Because, like... okay, I've always felt that couples that have been together for a long time, if your partner dies, I'm not saying dying of a broken heart is a legitimate means of, like, death, but sometimes people just give up.
That's why I'm really worried about Stan Lee now.
Yeah.
His wife has passed away.
Yeah, if he died next week...
It would be
devastating for everyone, but yeah, you would understand, you would expect it. And again, not necessarily dying of a broken heart, but basically dying of a broken heart. That shit sucks, man. Mm-hmm. That's like a real thing.
She passed away in 2005. I don't know who she is. Like, I didn't grow up with many of the shows, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to know a little bit more.
I'm American who grew up with older siblings, so I'm only on board with, like, the slightly older shit. Mm-hmm. Yo, the person that's training me,
mm-hmm.
that's training me at the factory, because, like, I'm still learning shit, like, every single day.
Of course. We're all learning stuff every day, man.
Well, cross-train, they also pay for your schooling, so what they pay for it, and you get a pay raise and get to basically, like, move elsewhere on the line as well. So work more, make more money,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to only do things that actually would pay off with stagecraft and theater mm-hmm. and, like, shows.
Smart.
So, like, building all the cabinets, I'm already learning that. Welding, that'd be fucking useful as shit.
It absolutely is, right?
But the person that's paying me, not paying me, the person that's training me, she was born in 1998. Does that make you feel a little old?
Yeah.
It makes me feel old.
She's makes me 19 feel older. Years old.
Yeah.
That's not right.
And she's been working there since she was 17. Well, the reason I got the job, the reason that I jumped right in there is because when my homie's wife got me the job, I say my homie's wife, but she's my homie too. So when my lady homie got me this job, she even told me, she's like, listen, you need to step in and do this right now. She's like, because normally when there's openings, they don't last for long, and one of the other employees gets their kid in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with her. Her stepdad works there. He's the whitest dude in the factory. but yeah, now the girl's fucking 19, got 2 years of experience there, and is training me. And it's so strange. The girl's like 5'2".
That's hilarious.
So it makes me feel old, bro.
This is my favorite scene in the movie where we get introduced to Chuckles the Clown.
The sad clown.
I wish there were toys of this guy. He looks so fucking adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, I love the way we go all, like, he's just got that perfect, like, noir voice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, real Maltese Falcon style, like, stuff as we go into this story. Or Max Payne style.
Max Payne.
I love that guy. I'm so, I have a stuffed Lotso toy somewhere that my sister got me for Christmas, who smells of strawberries, and he's fucking adorable.
Was that the same hilltop from When Story Somebody 2? Loved Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like
wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't be surprised.
But Pixar reuses environments like that.
They do.
They reuse the crevice around the tree from It's a Bug's Life for the space scene where Buzz Lightyear is flying around and
in
shit.
In the second movie, that's right.
Yeah. And they dude, there is a huge crossover with models.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they must have a crazy library of stuff they can just pull from now, you know. So why go through the effort of actually building anything again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the baby's also kind of creepy. I do like that. But the clown, Chuckles is just... I wish there were toys or figures of soul.
His wet nose looked amazing. Mm. Look at that.
This is just so intense. This scene... When they fall on... Yeah, when they fall
Pizza
into
Planet.
The,
it's a Pizza Planet truck.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. There you go. Yeah, it looked like... Oh, soaking in the...
It looks good. Lotso. He probably didn't even know what the hell that sign said.
No. Nope.
He's like, we'll go there.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, baby.
He's such an angry clown. I just love his visual. So.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers. Cheers to him. Some strawberry rum. Let's see how this goes down.
Enjoyably? I mean, kind of enjoyably. No chaser, so that's good.
See, that's how it's fucking done. Right?
Yeah. And next week's Apollo. Apollo 13, right?
And that is the plan, because Tom Hanks... is in Apollo 13 with
Kevin Bacon. And now, okay, we're
really surprising that we got that done so quickly.
Yeah,
you know?
Now we're getting to Kevin Bacon in Apollo 13. Are we going to make the sacrifice and actually do a Kevin Bacon-centric movie, or can we just call it a day on Apollo 13?
Can we call it a day on Apollo 13?
Yeah, because
I
don't want to watch Footloose or Tremors, and that's basically it.
Yeah, I can't think of any Kevin Bacon-centric movie that I would describe as a classic.
I dug him in the newer X-Men movie, but that's not a Kevin Bacon movie, nor is it a classic.
Not at all. We have way many more movies to get to before that.
However, he is in the Tremors TV show, apparently. Hear about that?
I did hear that, yes.
What's up, bitches? Now, okay, Ken's outfit. Not this outfit, but the first outfit that he was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you I could sideways comb my hair and wear that outfit, and literally you're the only person that would be like, Ken, Toy Story 3.
That's a poop joke. Pixar's not above a shit joke.
No. Well, I mean, that pig was the big dude from Cheers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, what the fuck else was he doing? Nothing.
Every single Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Every single Pixar movie. When did Cheers go off the air?
Long time ago.
But bear in mind, Toy Story was like 1995.
It was still way earlier than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, not really doing much at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, not really doing much else apart from these voice roles.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
It's not like this has revitalized his career, but he can comfortably rely on at least one gig a year from Pixar.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure he's not hurting for money.
I'm sure he gets some pretty sweet royalties from talking ham, piggy banks, and shit.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need to work anymore, I imagine.
Nope. I wish I didn't need to work anymore. My job fucking is not enjoyable.
Well, here's the key. Have a really successful career, and then disappear for 10 years, get cast in a Pixar movie, and live off the royalties from that.
There you go. There you go.
There you go. So if you start planning now, then you could have to not work again by the time you're 60.
That sounds horrible.
That's the dream.
I want to be able to not work within the next 10 years when the Parkinson's shake gets too bad.
Hang on, this guy as well. Again. Again, it's just such a noir kind of like a... Uh-huh. Such an influence.
Aww. Calling him old timer. You're older than every single toy in that room, in that building.
Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Because when was the show? Like the 50s, 60s?
Yeah. I mean, it was black and white, yeah. So 50s had to be.
And there was clearly no actual, like, puppetry. Like, in some scenes, it's literally just the guy making a doll flap around.
Yeah.
I mean, even Thunderbirds had specially crafted puppets.
So this video, that clip of the dump truck makes me giggle.
the fucking monkey on surveillance. Oh, I completely forgot about this guy.
Yeah.
God damn.
Do you find yourself in weird parts of YouTube occasionally?
I find myself going through an internet hole sometimes where... Mm-hmm. I'm doing something, and then it triggers a thought of like, oh, I wonder if there's anything about this, or what else has this person been in? And then it's 2 hours later.
Yeah.
And I'm nowhere near where I started, you know?
Yeah, 2 hours later, you're discovering new fetishes, and mm-hmm. It's crazy. I find myself in first-person view video on RC cars. All the time.
Where someone straps like a GoPro to an RC car and just...
Yeah, and links it with like their phone and their tablet so then they can just sit at home and drive around and terrorize the neighborhood.
Like a really... a ground stripping drone. Basically.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I've been watching them since before like the drones were like... Now it's either
that's
go drone
home
or go
alone
home.
Shit right there. Like,
yeah,
swear,
yeah.
I've seen that gimmick in like...
There's a guy with a YouTube channel where his gas-powered RC car has, like, eyeballs and, like, a face and shit, and then a GoPro, and like, a little, like, speaker on it so he can, like, walkie-talkie at his house, and there's this bitch in his neighborhood that just hates the fact that he has an RC car, and every time he drives by on the sidewalk, she tries to kick it. So then he just kind of exacerbates, to make things worse, exacerbates it. It just drives around in circles in her front lawn. It's fucking brilliant. I also like watching airsoft videos where sniper airsoft videos where the dudes hang back with their airsoft sniper rifles and literally just go out of their way to like headshot the dudes on the other team that are cheating. Oh, you got shot a couple times and didn't call it? I'm going to hit you right between the eyes the moment you take your goggles off. Those are so satisfying, man. Oh, that little ball and the wire thing. It's fucking... they used to have those in every doctor's office. And then you do, like, two, and you're like, I don't even want to do the other three. This is boring. This is stupid. It's kind of convoluted and complicated when I have to keep, like, taking my hand around the other wires. Mm-mm. I want Ken's pants right there.
It's awfully convenient that monkey was not watching the screen when the talk slunk out.
Well, that's why they're doing the distraction. God, why you gotta be fucking shooting it down. Don't be finding plot holes in one of the greatest like Disney Pixar movies to ever come out.
Plot holes in this. This is like a perfect movie, honestly.
I don't know about all that, but I'll definitely definitely say it may be one of the best that they've ever done.
No, not even including Pixar. Yeah, animation movies in general. Can you think of a movie that is better crafted than this?
This is... No, because this is... And not even the characters are great. The voice actor cast is amazing. Like, whoever does the casting for them is on point and on top of their shit. But just the emotions... Mm-hmm. That it may, especially if you grew up with this franchise, mm-hmm. the emotions of this movie.
I'll tell you, the end of the movie when they're going into like the trash compactor or whatever you want to call it,
incinerator.
Yeah, that did not get me. You know, everyone's like, oh my god, you start crying when you think you're. I didn't start crying, but I did legitimately think like, holy shit.
You're fucking heartless, bro. They're
about, no. Hang on. I'll redeem it in a second. While I was watching that scene, I'm like, oh my god, they're actually about to do this. Like, I thought, you know, it takes a very long time for
we all thought it, man. Yeah, I was like, I'm right there shit. With you.
Pixar has some serious...
Fuck Cars 3. Everything was about to change right then.
Yeah. It went on a little too long for you to feel comfortable. Like, normally in the movies, you can kind of tell, like, you know, oh my god, things look dire for our heroes, and then someone comes in to swoop and save them. You have that feeling, and then they just keep on getting closer and closer, and you're just like, and then they all start hugging each other, like, they give up. It's like, oh, fuck, and then you give up as well. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
They're about to fucking do this. Like, this is how they're gonna... end the series. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a fucking very final ending, definitely, but holy shit. And then they come in and get saved and everything like that. No, what got me, like, sobbing behind the 3D glasses, which I was very thankful for, was the scene where Andy's giving the kids to Bonnie at the end, you know? And giving the toys to Bonnie, all the, like, explaining who they are and their plot lines and
everything.
It's
such an older brother moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can only appreciate that either A, if you're an older sibling, or B, you grew up with older siblings.
Anyone who's ever passed something down to you, you get that.
Yeah,
twang,
you can feel it.
Or if your dad ever gave you, you know, a family heirloom or something, you know, anything that was handed down to you that had some significance to somebody, and they trusted you enough to give it to them, to give it to you. It's that's the moment that kind of just like made me kind of like tear up at the end. And of course, like, that's the very final thing that happens in the movie, so that the end of that, there's no hiding the fact that you're crying. Like, you don't have a moment to regroup. And
yeah, I had already been bawling during the incinerator scene, so like by the end of it, I was ecstatic and happy just that everyone was alive.
Okay.
And Lotso got his comeuppance because he's a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
What a cunt. The only innocent person, the only innocent toy. Oh, what a dumbass.
The baby.
No, the only innocent toy as far as I'm concerned is fucking Ken. Just because he's too weak to do anything but go along with it.
He's kind of a pussy.
Yeah, he's a pushover. If you're not a pushover, you can fight back. If you're a pushover, meh.
This is...
Be a bitch, get treated like a bitch.
This is interesting here. This building of Mr. Potato Head.
So it's the individual pieces that hold his sentience.
It's not the potato. Like, the potato has no brain, basically. It's literally just each individual little piece. Because he comes in a fucking courgette later, right?
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, so that potato itself has, like, the body has no powers, no momentum or anything. It's a weird thing to wrap your head around.
She just twisted his neck all the way back. That is so fucked up.
I never played with Barbies and Kens. Do their heads twist all the way that way?
Yeah, I mean, they'll twist the whole way around.
Okay.
You can twist it indefinitely.
Okay, you can't do that, so...
It's a ball and, like, joint, so, okay. Like, you can just, like a regular socket.
That makes... I mean, that makes sense. There are some toys, though, where it's just, like, it's on a ball, but you get...
Like, 180 degrees total.
You get accurate articulation.
Mm-hmm.
But...
accurate is entirely up to what you're
the definition of the viewer, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I know sideshow performers that can like owl it.
Uh-huh.
And it is the okay, it took me like a year and a half to watch like Tyler do needles where he stabs like 8-inch hat
wait,
pins
hang on.
through his like cheeks and through his neck, and then he sticks his tongue up and then sticks the last needle straight down underneath his tongue, and it comes out underneath his chin. And it took me a year and a half to be able to watch that. However, when I see anyone doing like owl like head movements and looking like over, like past straight back behind them, bro, it makes me sick. I can't watch. If I watch an act do that before I have to go on stage, I can't go on stage. Oh, it's a glowworm!
Yeah, for like the second time in the movie.
Uh-huh. I actually still have my my glowworm sleeping bag. It came with a glowworm like that.
Mm-hmm.
It also glowed in the dark.
Here's a question. In a daycare center, why do they have... like, okay, Barbie and a Ken and a dollhouse and all that sort of shit, but why do they have like 80 different costumes for the Barbie and the Ken? Like...
because
kids that are little late, like 5-year-old kids that discerning.
Well, it's not even that. It's that Barbie automatically comes with normally she would come with two outfits, the one that she's wearing in the box plus the other one in the hanger.
But they are not buying these toys. They're being donated. So somebody donated just like an entire okay, I know actually I can buy that. Someone donated the house and it came with like all the shit.
Yeah,
the
it came with a hand. I'm sure that Barbie and that Ken When that Ken got access to the house, he's like, "Oh my god, free clothes!"
Kind of like when you buy a couch and you find some old lady stiff like her life savings down the side and shit.
Mm-hmm. We call those tight ones because when they roll their hundreds of dollars, they tab their stack of cash and then they wrap it in rubber bands. And if you look at it from one rolled side, it looks like a butthole. Old people do that though. Old people will just collect cash and then wrap it up in rubber. When my grandmother died, I'm pretty sure we found thousands of dollars hidden under her bed in mattresses, in purses that she hadn't used in 30 years. I once bought a couch from someone and found $400 inside of the couch. Old people just do that shit, bro. Strangest shit in the world. Whatever happened to banks?
Yeah. How much interest is your couch gathering? If anything, you're fucking like your couch isn't keeping up with inflation or anything.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, really, if you were old enough to have survived the Depression, would you trust banks? You know, like
fair.
we have not went. Yeah, there was an economic downturn a little bit.
We don't have the great crash though, where everyone loses everything.
Yeah, we don't. We haven't had the Dust Bowl. We haven't had people dying of starvation and a bunch of other people being like homeless from being awesome to being homeless like overnight. Like our generation has not had the worst thing that our generation in this country has had to experience was 9/11, and then all of us having to go to war after that.
Yeah.
Everyone that was in that age bracket fucking I joined. I shouldn't have joined.
Joined because you watched a fucking
a
Val
really
Kilmer
bad
movie?
Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen. Yeah, that's even worse, actually. That is even worse.
If you met Charlie Sheen, what would you say to him?
That because of him, I have like 4 years worth of some of the funniest stories and stand up that I never would have had it not been for his drug induced career in the 80s. Well, I mean, you're a zucchini.
Yeah.
I can believe at least one thing you may have been through.
Of all the zucchinis in the world, I think you've got off pretty lightly.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, if the individual things are sentient, he just put the eyes on there.
Mm-hmm.
Did all of a sudden his zucchini buddy just fall over? Or was his zucchini buddy just blind and his eyes were on another body?
I think it's the legs that are carrying the zucchini body, so I feel like zucchini body's okay.
So there is a moment there where Mr. Potato Head is sentient in his plastic potato and the zucchini at the same time.
Like if the plastic body had the feet and the zucchini body had the arms, he could be in two places at once. Stick an eye on each one.
That's a great idea.
Right? Where's that short story? Instead we get fucking Rex in the bath.
Bitches. Fucking bitches.
Oh my god, creepy baby doll with his head the wrong way. That's fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
How does this rank in Pixar movies for you?
Favorite Pixar movies, every single one of them is a Toy Story movie. Followed closely by A Bug's Life and Up and Shit.
Okay.
But all of my favorite Pixar movies are totally Toy Story movies somewhere in the franchise.
Okay.
However, if we include Pixar shorts in that,
ooh,
as a magician,
Presto,
I have to side with Presto.
Okay.
Presto. If we're including the shorts, Presto is an amazing...
Presto's about the rabbit that kind of starts fighting back against the magician. He's like, oh, shit, your whole show relies on me? Well, I've got a list of demands.
And even in the dressing room, just in the background of that scene, there are so many just little things that normal people would just assume, oh, yeah, that totally belongs in the dressing room of a magician. But magicians look at it and go, that's a specific prop from, like, the 50s that, like, ex-famous magician used to use. Mm-hmm. Clearly... at least a couple people on the Pixar like squad are at least amateur magicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're, it's like Key and Peele, all the different magic themed sketches they did.
Mm-hmm.
Those motherfuckers are members of the magic, well, were members of the Magic Castle. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to make half of those jokes. When the cop was the magician. And when Keegan-Michael Key spreads the cards for Jordan Peele, and he spreads them between his hand, and Jordan Peele goes, oh, come on, that's not even a good fan. Only magicians give a shit about stuff like that, you know?
Bug's Life, that's an interesting choice, I gotta say.
I really, really enjoyed A Bug's Life.
Just because it's one of the, it's their second movie, you know, a lot of people forget about the older stuff. And considering, I feel like, most people would say they've just got better and better as they've gone on. To pick A Bug's Life as one of their favorite movies is interesting choice.
They do tend to, even these Toy Story, we talked earlier about how the Toy Story movies, like, never want, as you get farther in the franchise, never once does it downgrade.
No.
One
is definitely the weakest, but that's not saying
But one
a bad
is an
thing.
Amazing movie. Yeah. In comparison, it's totally the weakest, because that was your start, and then you build upon that.
That's a sad callback. They broke him, finally, the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, they broke me.
Yeah. But yeah, I just really dig A Bug's Life because they may have gotten better and better and better, but Bug's Life and Toy Story, they were proof of concept.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
You know, like
this can't work over a span of 80-90 minutes.
Well, I mean, how many bands do you know that you appreciate their entire discography, but the very first album is like your favorite because maybe it's what introduced you to it, or it's nostalgic and reminds you of like a time when you were younger. Mm. That's kind of how I look at A Bug's Life.
Okay.
The Incredibles, though, is the shit. I'm just saying. The Incredibles is amazing. I'm really excited they're finally doing a sequel.
Yes.
That is the sequel we've been waiting on.
Yeah. We don't care that it's been like almost 15 years for that.
Mm-mm. Nope. We've been waiting the entire time.
Yeah. I think, not that you're asking, you rude bastard, but I think that mine is, my favorite is definitely Wall-E.
Wall-E is such a weird, depressing movie. You don't expect, the Wall-E that ends, like,
it's dark for a Pixar, like, considering all the movies leading up to this, it's kind of dark. It's a dark concept.
It's,
you know?
Like Cabin in the Woods. The movie at the beginning is totally different than the movie that happens at the end.
Yeah, yeah. And just the idea of, like, you know, the movie starts off with humans have become so shitty that the whole planet's been destroyed. And the humans that are left have just let themselves become these gluttonous fat slobs. Like, it's got a lot of messages, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Wall-E, I mean, it does help that he is an inanimate object, so he's a little bit easier to animate.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks way more fucking adorable than any of the other characters that they have created. You know, they took what like a bunch of nuts and bolts and scrap metal, and they gave it so much personality, even more so than any of these things that can really emote with their eyes and their mouths and everything. Mm-hmm. He communicates so much more.
Now,
my second one, I would say, is either I could not really decide, I guess, between Monsters, Inc. or Finding Nemo. I'd say those are my top three.
And both of those movies are amazing, and neither one of them even make it into my top three.
And that is, I guess that's just a testament to how good Pixar is.
Everything Pixar does, within reason, I mean, not including Cars.
Mm. Cars is just their one misstep, and it's such a shame.
Yeah, yeah. And
Cars 2, specifically. Cars 1 is not a bad movie, still. It's not their best, but it's just a little kind of shallow.
But I feel like sentient cars is more of a niche market than just sentient every toy.
Yeah, it's a harder market to get behind, a harder idea.
Toy Story appealed to a bunch of different genders and ages, whereas Cars is a little more specific.
Mm-hmm. And that sold toys like fucking out the rectum.
Still selling cars to every little boy in the country.
But goddamn ridiculous.
You ask little boys who your favorite car is, and they're going to say Lightning McQueen. They're not going to say like a 67 Charger.
Yeah.
Or an actual
the
car.
Shelby or something.
Yeah. Oh my God, I want that GTO. I want that fucking 1967. Jesus, it's so dope. It's so nice. Although, really, what's the car with the pickup back, the pickup truck in the back?
You are on the wrong podcast, man. I don't know a goddamn thing about cars.
Actually, I've been looking at a bunch of cars recently because now with my pay scale, I have to get, now I finally paid off the cruiser, after that accident a few weeks ago.
Sure.
So that's taken care of. So now I'm literally just saving money from a car. I watch Supernatural a lot. Clearly, we've talked about this. And in the car, in the movie, they're the main character's car. They drive a '67. I think it's
Chevy
a Charger.
Impala.
Yeah, the Impala. Yeah. I found a guy here in the state of Florida that is willing to sell me his Supernatural reproduction Impala that he worked on in his own garage for like $8,000.
That would be a pretty sweet car to drive around in.
Yeah, it'd be a gas guzzler, but every time I rev the engine, my dick's going to get like 5 inches longer. So I'm really thinking
about
it.
And you can't put a price on that.
No, you can't put a price on penis length. Well, I mean, technically you can.
And it's $8,000, apparently.
Yeah, and I'm trying to fix shit with my girl, and on one hand, I feel like the responsible adult in her would be like, baby,
here
that's
we
a horrible
go. Here's
idea.
Here's the fucking thing. Here's why you're getting a car, because your girl loves Supernatural.
Yeah.
And you think if you get the car, get the woman.
I feel like part of her, the responsible adult in her, would be like, you should have gotten a fucking Kia or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
But Kias can suck it.
And to be fair, she is trying to get you to be a responsible adult. Like that's
yeah, but I've got a hourly job that pays better than most of my friends with hourly jobs.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing that would beat my pay scale is substantial corporate show pay.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm in the position now to actually get whatever the fuck I want.
Okay.
And I was really looking into dealerships because on one hand, I wouldn't mind spending the extra money and having a car payment just because then you're guaranteed that you're not going to have issues. And if you do have issues, you just take it back to the dealership. They'll fucking fix that shit in the garage. But on the other hand, there's not a single car that's currently out that is like current that I'm really interested in.
Say, I don't know enough about cars. Like, people can talk about cars till they're blue in the face, and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'd be the worst person to walk into a dealership because I just pick the first car I like the look of, and like, does it run? Okay, that's all I need. Honestly, I don't care how fast it goes north to 60, or you know.
Yeah, just
is the gas is the mileage okay? Is it?
If I rev the engine and it sounds cool, you're like, that's good enough for me.
I don't even care how it sounds. Like, when Tara's mom was here, we got, like, a hybrid car, and that thing was, like, quiet as a mouse fart.
Oh, yeah, you can't even tell they're on.
Yeah, and I'm
when
like...
When you're sitting at lights, you're like, did the car turn off?
Yeah. when we start driving, I'm like, okay, the car works, so this is a cool car. I don't care about, I don't need to be one of those like musclehead guys, you know, like the Fast and Furious, tuning their cars to make it much louder and shit.
All right, I gotta go pee before I cry about this.
Okay.
Because we're there. We are there.
It's happening. Well, hurry back.
I'm running.
Because I don't want to be the only one crying at this point. Although, you know, I don't fucking cry at this scene. For one, I know how it ends. Every time I watch it, it makes it a little bit easier not to cry. Bum, bum, bum. God, the animation is so good there. Oh, he's still gonna fuck him. I forgot about that. He still fucks them over. He has one last chance to help them after they help him.
Fuck
God,
lots,
and this is, and this is why he's such a good villain. You know? They go back to help him. And then he's just fucking like, adios, amigos. God, what a... What a cunt.
What an asshole.
Like, not just even one of the best Disney, like, Pixar villains, one of the best, easily one of the best Disney villains, possibly one of the best villains ever, honestly, because, God.
And considering he doesn't die at the end and instead his pride gets injured,
yeah.
Like, it's actually okay.
Yeah.
Andy. Oh.
Now, how many of these toys are plastic? Should they not be kind of melting from the heat at this point?
They should all be getting slightly pliable.
Yeah. Like, that would be fucking dark, you know, if their head started kind of tilting to one side and shit.
Or if they hold hands and then
and,
they
like,
try
the
and
hands
separate.
Kind of, like,
they...
sink into each other.
God.
That's the fucking movie I wanted to see.
Yeah.
That's the... Oh, man.
Oh.
That look when they just fucking accept it. Oh, God. Like, you think at that, like, right then, right when you think they're about to touch hands, you think something's about to come in and swoop in and save them.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. And then we have this long, really
I'm
long.
I'm tearing
just
up,
like,
man.
Oh,
no.
And I'm just sat there in the theater just like, holy shit, they're going to fucking... They're going to do it. Like, I have mad respect for when movies take risks that, like this would have been. To fucking kill off all of the toys,
mm-hmm.
That would have been, like, I'm sure there would have been a massive outcry. That ending would have never made it. But if they just said, like, there's an ending where we actually killed them all in the incinerator,
mm-hmm.
I'd have been like, holy shit, I fucking applaud that, you know?
Yeah, at least the aliens got to save the day, because they don't really get to do much.
No, they're just the bumbling comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They're the minions.
And have been ever since the first... Yeah, they are the minions of this franchise.
The minions
ever
are
since
the aliens.
First movie.
Let's not get that twisted.
Okay.
Universal's like, oh, those aliens are really cool. Let's jump on this train. Mm-hmm. Bro, I feel you. I fucking feel you. That shit happened to me yesterday.
Hey, what? Did you almost fall into an incinerator?
No, that whole... Remember all those terrible things I was saying?
Uh-huh.
I take it all back. That shit happened to me literally 24 hours ago.
Okay.
Fuck Lotso. Lotso's a cunt.
See, Woody there is like, forget him, boys. He's not worth it. What I'd like to see is like 6 months later or something, Lotso going about his own thing, and Woody just turns up out of nowhere. He can't let that go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has to finish. He doesn't want to set a bad example for the other toys, but he has to finish it. And he just has to, like, fucking not smother him or something. I don't know how you'd fucking kill a stuffed bear, but there has to be a way.
You just loosen his stitches, exactly like Slinky said.
You just, loosen his stitches, like, while he...
If Woody could just Dexter him...
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
You cut his face, and instead of a blood, like instead of a drip of blood, it's just a little bit of cotton.
Yeah. And you just hold, he's tied to the fucking garbage truck, but you just hold on to that stitch. And then it starts driving away.
Now, here's a question. Could Woody just kill shitty toys and then grab like a handful of their cotton and put it in his arms? And so Woody just, the more people
take
he
their
killed,
essence,
the, yeah, take their essence. The more toys he killed,
well,
the
I
more
don't
buff
know.
He
what
got.
What part of them is sentient? We haven't quite, we don't know what that is now with the...
Yeah, Potato Head kind of confuses me a little bit.
Yeah. Like if...
Oh, they haven't been on there since movie one or two? Two.
Who?
They were on that roof.
Oh, yeah.
At the start of their adventure in two?
Like, clearly Mr. Potato Head can survive having, like, bits of him pulled off. If, when did Woody lose his arm? That was the second movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did it just tear? It never actually, did it fall off? I think it did at one point.
Uh-huh.
But his arm didn't have sentient capabilities. It wasn't crawling around and shit, you know.
It should have. Yeah. It should have been fucking pulling
by the
thing.
Rules. I mean, by the rules set here by Mr. Potato Head.
I told you Thing is a magician, right?
Yeah, the Christopher...
Christopher Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah. A buddy of mine actually just saw him the other day, and Christopher Hart, again, did what Christopher Hart always does. When he takes a picture with you, he ducks behind you. And just puts his hand on your on the top
so you
of your head.
You get a picture with Christopher Hart's hand, basically.
You get a picture with Thing. He recreates the Gomez picture.
Uh-huh. What happens if you just want a picture with him? Like, you're just like, no.
I mean, he'll take it with you.
Okay.
But, I mean...
His go-to is like, he just... That's kind of like... It's a little sad if he just assumes everybody always wants to see him as Thing.
Well, he can... He even does an act where magicians do that thing where they float the silver ball around.
Mm-hmm.
He does that trick, only instead of a silver ball, he takes out a pink glove and he explains how this was actually one of Marilyn Monroe's costume gloves from when she shot the musical number for Diamonds Are the Girl's Best Friend. And then that hand comes to life. And instead of floating a silver ball around, you're floating around Marilyn Monroe's disembodied ghost hand because Christopher Hart can emote better with his fucking right hand than a lot of professional actors can with all of their emotions. Man, it's good. Man.
He must give a fantastic hand job.
Oh, my God. It's probably amazing.
Bring you to tears.
Make your eyes roll in the back of your head. Make you retarded. You ever had one of those that's so good it makes your toes curl, but they curl so much that the arch of your foot just hurts? That's what I'm talking about. Where you just have to be like, stop, my foot hurts. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's like, you're just that good.
It's a compliment, I promise.
Just arch your back so much, it turns into one of those like twirly straws you get at Disneyland.
It's funny as fuck.
Okay, here's our big tier scene.
Oh, no. And Andy. Andy's driving. Funny.
We have to say something because if we just watch this, I'm going to be a wreck.
Yeah. So yeah, Pixar does kids really well. This is the original Andy.
Words, words, words.
Try not to.
Isn't there a theory where Bonnie is actually somebody else from another Pixar movie? She's not Boo, I don't think. Or is she, actually?
I don't know. She could be. I don't. What?
I think there was a theory.
The eyes. I can see it in the eyes, but I mean, it's Pixar.
Yeah, they again, just reusing models.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a. Or there was a theory where Boo was grew up to be Andy's mom or something, and that that Monsters Inc. was set like 30 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Isn't also Jesse, in that theory that Jesse was Andy's mom's toy?
Yes. Yeah, that's that. Just fucking tell us, Pixar. Mm-hmm. Like, that would make the movie so much cooler.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd be okay if you had an inconveniently convenient moment like that.
Just bring it all together in Toy Story 4. Mm-hmm. Just have this revelation. Although, you know, Andy's mom should probably, considering how much she cared about Jesse, she should probably have said something at this point, you'd think. Like, when she sees, because clearly mm-hmm. Andy must play with her, I guess. But I don't know what the plot of Toy Story 4 is. Wasn't the original plot of Toy Story 2, and I keep hearing this idea pop up again, is that Buzz gets recalled?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then they have to go to the factory to save him or something like that.
Oh, no, and there's going to be a bunch more Buzzes like in Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I think that was the original idea for Toy Story 2. I don't know how well that idea would work now that it's been like how many years?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, why would you recall a toy after all this? Aww.
She knows.
She knows his shtick. It's like, fuck you, kid.
Woody, just say something to him, man.
Just wink. Just wink after all these years. Oh, God, that fucking reminds me of that cartoon, all that, just that story that people put out there for, like, you know, they want to see the last Toy Story short while Andy's on his deathbed. God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to give you up, and he's never going to let you down.
Oh, no. It's so sad. I don't like it.
Oh, God. Whose fucking idea was this? Apollo damn you, Kevin Bacon.
Apollo 13's going to be way better. You're going to watch dudes burn to death.
Yeah. Kevin, who's the guy who can't go on the trip? Is it Kevin Bacon, or is he the reserve who goes in the end? Look at us getting ahead of ourselves for next week.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
I don't even remember that.
I'm going to have to watch a refresher during the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to pull a refresher before I come over here and get wasted with you and watch that.
Or just come on with a bunch of material to talk about, because I don't remember that movie at all.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even mention who directed this movie. Leon Critch, who was a co-director of Toy Story 2, I think. This was his first animation. Definitely his first Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
Way to knock it out of the park. God damn. Under the supervision of, you know, John Lasseter and all those guys. The regular crew. But God, just to come out the gate swinging like this. Like Andrew Stanton, when he came out with, I think Finding Nemo came out first, and then he brought out Wall-E.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Bird did The Incredibles, and then he did Ratatouille. Like, straight out the gate, those are some fantastic films. Fuck, I don't know what Leon Critch did actually after this. Gotta look it up now.
I like how none of the toys move until Woody moves. Because Woody's
You can
the
tell
leader.
Who wears the pants in that relationship.
Absolutely. Little jeans with the super thin knees. Yeah, that's totally a Totoro.
Is?
Yeah, right. No way that's not.
Yeah, he's co-director on everything until Toy Story 3, and then, oh, he's directing the new movie this year, Coco. 12-year-old boy named Miguel sets off a chain of events relating to a century-old mystery leading to an extraordinary family adventure. That's their next movie, I think. Yeah, November 22nd.
So that was an amazing movie. It definitely...
You don't have to pretend like you're talking to the audience, man. It's okay. You're talking to your ride. I get
Fuck you, dog. It'll definitely make you feel shitty, though, during the, especially during the incineration, but even at the end, man.
You know what makes me feel shitty is when you pretend like you're talking to me, but you're really talking to the guy who's driving you home.
Fuck you, dog. God.
Just send him a text saying, hey, I'm ready to go. Get me out of here. I'm glad we jumped into this movie instead of doing the first Toy Story and Toy Story 2, to be honest.
Yeah, well, honestly, the first Toy Story and Toy Story 2 are really, really good movies, but this is the one that emotionally, like, ties it all together. Because when this came out, those of us that were adults that saw this movie, we grew up with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Definitely. Also, I don't feel like... I feel like we're ready to do some sequels now. We're 32 episodes into this thing we've been doing, and we've got a lot of great movies we've watched, but we should jump into some sequels now.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm totally down.
Like, you know, maybe not Jaws 2, but, like, Ghostbusters 2, Back to the Future Part 2. We gotta do this Two Towers for Lord of the Rings at some point when you have, like, a bunch of free time.
We have the whole Harry Potter franchise.
We should start doing that one again, like, staying a little more sober.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
so
go
after
to
Apollo 13, yeah, we've got plenty of other things to do. We don't have to jump on to the Kevin Bacon
beer or mixed drinks.
Mm-hmm. Man, I wonder if we can get some bacon and infused liquor for next week. That has to exist. It's America.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dinosaur orgy we're watching.
Yeah, it is. You guys made the wall. That's awesome.
Sorry, the pictures are so shit.
Yeah.
Hey, he finally smiles. Hey. Did you look up whether Disney owns Studio Ghibli?
I did, and then I didn't actually look up. I didn't actually read the results because I was so sucked into the film.
Timothy Dalton giving it. Oh my god! Oh, Timothy Dalton playing in Romeo and Juliet, which we obviously saw in Hot Fuzz.
Mm-hmm. Disney's the one that distributes all their films in the U.S.
Okay, right, just a U.S. deal. That makes sense.
I mean, still since probably when, very lucrative because a bunch of U.S. like every
oh fuck yeah
people in the U.S. know that Studio Ghibli's the shit.
When did they join that? Because this was 2010. So I wonder if this is like how in all the Marvel movies, there's suddenly a bunch more Star Wars references now.
Uh huh.
You know.
It should be noted that only titles named on this page are distributed by Disney. Films distributed to video by Disney go all the way back to 1984.
Oh. Well, fuck me.
Yes, and one of the studio's characters, Totoro, from My Neighbor Totoro, made a cameo in Toy Story 3 as a plush toy.
We already know that. Uh-huh. We just lived it.
Yeah. Okay.
We didn't even talk about Spanish Buzz.
No, we didn't.
It's a fun gag.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I enjoy Toy Story 3. It makes you feel things that Pixar movies shouldn't be making you feel. But I feel like that's entirely because of the
aroused.
Well, yeah, I mean, when's the last time you got a fucking rock-hard penis because of a Pixar movie?
You know what, in this, hang on.
Tuesday. Tuesday.
In this world, is there such thing as a sex toy story? Like, do dildos have emotions and shit?
Yeah,
like,
bro, that's another Reddit theory. When Andy's mom's toys met with Andy's toys. Because you know that happened. You know though Andy's toys roamed around that house a lot during his childhood.
They had, you're telling me she doesn't have a dildo? Please.
Every girl has a dirty drawer. Every single one of them, without fail, I don't care who they are, every girl has a dirty drawer. And Andy's mom is a single woman, so she's probably got like a double-sized dirty drawer, because she can.
She has a dirty closet.
Yeah. Well, you don't got to worry about somebody else. Randy Newman. Randy Newman. I love short people. Well, I like the song Short People. I don't just love short people because they're short. I like people, and if they happen to be short and I like them, I don't care that they're short.
So much so you don't even bring it up in this conversation.
Except for right now.
Right now. Yeah, where's the fucking Toy Story where they stumble across the dildos? You know?
It's on newgrounds.com. If you're unfamiliar, that website is still up.
Wow, really? Is it actually a thing over there?
It should be. I don't know.
Guarantee it's gotta be.
Yeah, it totally sounds like.
What happens if, let's Google something right now and see what the first result is. Sex Toy Story.
Got it. Sex Toy Story. There's YouTube videos.
That's promising.
There's posters.
Okay. With the toys are back in mom. Fantastic. I see what they've done there.
Big dicks. Okay. Mr. Potato Head is a butt plug. Mr. Potato Head is definitely a butt plug.
That does not look comfortable at all.
No. Have you seen the sexy Woody?
No.
Picture? Okay. This is sexy Woody. If you get online, you can literally buy sexy Woody accessories, which is Woody face of different expressions.
So for a person to wear?
No, oh. No. They sell you faces of Woody, but of different expressions of like erogeny, I guess. And I think they're made in like Europe or Asia or some shit, but when you get them, they're made to actually fit onto your real Woody toys.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. But they don't just sell the sexy Woody, they sell the sexy Woody accessories to turn any Woody into sexy Woody. Also, that same face, this sexy Woody face between these two bent over like bitches with their pussies hanging out, I've seen this same Woody face, but they put like a burning joint in Woody's hand, and now it's high Woody.
It's the exact same expression.
Yeah, yeah, but sexy Woody's a thing.
I don't know. I don't know how that makes me feel, but no, I do. It makes me happy that that's the thing.
Oh yeah, we weren't the first. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for being here. And thank you for joining us for our Big Gay Date. Until next time, I'm Dave Mosley.
I'm Carl Skeens.
Next week we have Apollo 13. That is a hard lock. We are set on it. We will see you then. Thank you and good night.